Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, my co-hosts are Kelly Abel and Tracy Ford. Hi, Kelly. Hi, Tracy.
Hello.
Hi,
did you guys have a great Christmas break?
Yes. Yes. It was wonderful.
We got a little bit of hate mail, just so you know, for taking that much time off over Christmas.
Oh.
There was a few disgruntled folks, and so I apologize. I want to tell you, listeners, it was my fault. I'm the one that said, hey, I can't do the month of December, so you can be mad at me. Wasn't poor Kelly or Tracy's fault. Tonight, you guys, we have the Atascosa Paranormal Investigators on tonight. We're really excited to have these folks on. I have been, you can look them up on Facebook, and if you've logged into chat, if you haven't logged into chat, log into chat, because Kelly and Tracy will be in there tonight, and they will be dropping links so that you can see the website for the investigators and their Facebook page and whatnot. They'll be on in just a little bit, and we'll talk to them. I do want to say, I normally do the World of Ink Network spiel about all the different shows that we have and give you all of our hosts, but we have so many shows now that honestly you guys don't want me to name them all off. So check out the World of Ink Network, and we have shows for everybody. Doesn't matter what you're into, we've got a show for you, I promise. Okay, so girls, anything paranormal going on over our big break?
I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah, there was actually this. It's Tracy, by the way. We kind of sound alike, Kelly, I think.
I know. You do a little bit.
I'm trying to think if it was, I want to say it was like around, it had to be around Christmas, because I ended up having to like kick a dude out of my house. And It was around, as most of you, well, probably half of our listeners don't even know this, but I got married in November, and we had our reception in December. It was the day after the reception, and
whoa,
someone dropped someone off, and I woke up to, like, sometimes my husband will get down in my ear when I'm asleep, like, to wake me up so he doesn't startle me.
Uh-huh.
And I could feel someone like right next to my head, and I could tell they were getting ready to talk, because I wear those darkening blinders over my face. It's really sexy. But I took that off fully expecting to see my husband standing there, and there was no one there.
No.
And I got up and I was like, you know, were one of you guys in my room? And they were like, no, and that would be my son and my husband. Well, it turns out it was a gentleman who had died in a very fatal car accident. I don't know how long ago, but it took all three of us to get him to cross over. Well, when he left an elemental here, which was a very icky situation. And my friend, Jamie Ronan, who's been on the show before, he actually ended up having to do some stuff from a distance to get the elemental out. But that was like, I want to say that was like the only really significant paranormal thing that's happened to me since I was on the show like last year. But
oh,
it
wow.
was, and like David was actually, David is my son, he's 13, and he was actually able to help, and he could hear the guy talking. Like his gifts have just opened up. And he was telling me things before I was able to say them. So the guy was talking to him too, which is
oh,
really
wow.
kind of cool. But that anyway, there's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay.
Well, I can't say I can't say I've had anything paranormal. I thought I got to tell you a funny story, and then we're going to have our guests come on and tell us all their cool stuff. I thought I had a paranormal occurrence the other night. I'm in bed. 2 o'clock in the morning, everybody is supposedly sound asleep, and I hear this bam, 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 shook the whole house. I mean, really shook the whole house, scared me half to death. So I jumped up out of bed and took off running. I didn't know if somebody was trying to beat down my front door or what it was, and I'm expecting it to not be a real person, and I go running out my bedroom door, ready to kick some paranormal butt, and my son is standing there covered in snow, stomping his feet to clean off his boots before he steps on the carpet. And I'm like, what are you doing? I thought you were in bed. He said, no, I, you know, so-and-so got stuck in a drift and needed pulled out, so I went and helped him. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, next time tell me. 'Cause he said, Mom, what were you going to do? I said, what do you mean? He says, you run out here in your nightgown. What were you going to do? I said, I don't know. I was going to kick somebody's ass. I don't know what I was going to do. He's like, you might want to grab a weapon next time.
Somebody's going to get kicked.
Somebody was going down. Nobody was just coming in my house. So that was my not-so-paranormal experience. That's about the only thing that's happened around here. Okay, so tonight we have with us Gloria, Albert, Laura, and Kathy from the Atascosa Paranormal Investigators. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
We are super excited to have you guys. Gloria, I told you like right before the show started, I was going to ask this. Can you give us a little explanation about how your group got started?
Well, I wanted to see if it was true. You know, I would see a lot of ghost shows, and I didn't know what it was, if it was true or not. So I decided like 4 years ago that I wanted I was joking with my friends, and I said, let's start a group. And they said, okay. So we did, and it's going to be 4 years next month that I started API. And that was the real reason. I have been interested in the paranormal since I was like 8 years old. So that's how I got into the paranormal.
Oh wow! And you've got a pretty good following. You got a big following on Facebook.
Yeah. I'm glad that we have a lot of fans that, you know, and out here in Atascosa County, we're like 35 to 40 miles south of San Antonio, and there was no one here. I was the first group that started here in Atascosa, and now we got two teams that started after me that are in Pleasanton, like 5 miles from Jernton. So we all started, you know, they were in my team, they branched off and started their own team, and I'm happy for them.
So do people, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
Do people just, call you and say, hey, will you come investigate this? We think our house is haunted, or how do you get your gigs?
Yeah, that's how it happens. You know, a lot of callers that we come in at our private homes, they call me, or, you know, word of mouth or Facebook or whatsoever. You know, they
and the case manager.
And we have a case manager that does, you know, set up cases too. But the most of the, you know, we started out with the homes. When they call, they think they're going crazy. You know, some of
yeah.
them, I had like two people that were actually trying to commit to the state hospital. And so we went over there and we experienced the same thing, people touching them. They're hearing voices, they're hearing knockings and all that. So, you know, when we set up the equipment, we have a DVR, digital recorders, night vision cameras, and so on. And when we gather the evidence and we present it to them that, you know, it's not you just going through this. We feel like we experienced the same thing.
Wow. Wow.
There's, we need help, you know, we're going crazy. And after we tell them, no, you're not crazy, we experience, you know, the same thing. It's paranormal.
Now, do you have, I understand that you have a medium that works with you, not in the actual investigation, but from a distance. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct, because he's in a wheelchair, and he helps most people. Like, I'm real sensitive, and I usually take him home with me from an investigation. So, they're in my house. So, what he does, he goes and crosses them over. Because then, you know, they're just buffed. I had several of them that just wouldn't leave me alone. So, that's how he comes into play.
So, he... in effect, gets rid of them. Now, do you have some sort of, before we get into the nitty gritty of your how you proceed through an investigation, do you have some sort of aftercare program set up? You know, people that you know or whatever to hook people up with, that you get in and you get all this evidence and you can tell them, yeah, your house is haunted. Do you also have people that they can go to at that point to get rid of the ghosts, or at least help them come to some sort of resolution, you know?
Usually, if it's real bad, I do send them to our medium, to Robert, and then he goes and does whatever he does with them. And if not, we've done a cleansing, but we usually get the homeowner to do a cleansing, and Several that they've done, you know, afterwards they have reported us that the activity has stopped.
Okay. I always ask that question because a lot of groups, they just investigate. That's it. They simply compile evidence and then they leave. And, so, you know, sometimes it's a dire situation and they really need help coming to some sort of resolution because they're, you know... Some dead folks you can live with, and some dead folks you can't. At least that's been my experience, anyhow.
That's true, and like I said, from a lot of investigations, I end up with them home. I'm so sensitive there; I'm like a magnet to them, and they end up with me.
Huh.
And that's not fun.
Yeah, that could be a challenge, I'm sure.
That's one thing that I'm very careful of now, and I didn't used to be. Well, I was bringing entities home with me long before I even started doing any investigating, not realizing what was going on. But now, especially, I take great care if I'm going on an investigation to protect myself before I go in and to protect myself from the moment I come out, because I have grandchildren that live in my home, and that, you know, children and ghosts don't generally mix well. So sometimes they do, but, you know, it's scary for them. Sometimes it's scary for them. So I try to be real, real careful. So let's talk a little bit about, you were naming off some of the equipment. Can you get in a little more in depth in that, like what each piece of equipment does? And how you would use that in the course of a normal investigation?
Well, like the DVR system we set up throughout the home or place we investigate and see what we can catch on the video. We also have handheld camcorders and a digital recorder so we can catch EVPs. the electrical paranormal phenomena, and then, you know, we use the ovulus that we have the old ovulus X, but the ovulus 3, which I like that one a lot. The ovulus 3 is one equipment we use. We have laser grids that come in real handy for a shadow to go through there.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the spirit box, that the PS radio.
Yeah.
And that one, that's my favorite. There's a lot come in through there that you can actually hear their voices and give us numbers, ages.
Those things are addictive, aren't they? Those spirit boxes.
Oh, yeah. That's my favorite equipment, I think, of all.
I had the opportunity to use one when I did the Smackover investigation back last January. And, boy, I would have liked to have taken that home with me, but I don't think I'd ever got anything done. I think it would have just been playing with it all the time.
That's my favorite. Like I said, you know, everything comes through there. And you can actually hear their voices, you know.
Yeah. I want to tell, for those that are, for your listeners, if you would like to ask a question, you're welcome to log into chat. The chat room is located just underneath the box if you're watching on the internet. If you are listening on the internet, I should say. If you would like call in and ask a question, the call in number is 714-242-5259. If you do call in to ask a question, please bear with us. Sometimes it takes me a minute to get to you, but if you'll be patient and just stay on hold, we will get to you and you can ask your question. Okay, now I lost track of where I was. Something sparkled. I know. It's terrible. I even told Tracy and Kelly before the show started, you guys keep track of me. You don't want to get distracted. I want to know, what for each of you, what is the scariest investigation that you personally have been on? You can start in whatever order you'd like.
I think mine was the old Gonzales jail.
That's Albert.
I think that one was kind of scary for me.
We can't hear him.
Get closer to the speaker.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
It was an investigation at the Gonzales jail. You know, Gloria had an experience that scared us all. That was probably the scariest I've been on.
She got possessed.
Yeah. She was possessed.
Oh, okay.
What happened?
Well, the last thing that I remember was I was upstairs in the jail and my battery went out. So I went downstairs to grab a battery and I never came back up. When they found me, I was the first floor by the loony they called. That's where they had held the criminally insane. And what they saw, they can tell you. I don't remember. I think Laura's the one that saw most of it. Laura, you wanna?
Okay, yeah. So she was walking down to get her battery, and I'm turning into one of the rooms. And she's standing in a dark corner, you know, because we do everything in the dark. And I've got my infrared camera, so I spotted her in the camera. I just got pretty angry with her and said, "You nearly gave me a heart attack." And walked in the room, did my investigation, and walked back out. And she's still in that dark corner. And when I looked at her, she did this really wicked, clown-like giggle. It was really nasty, and I told her, "That's not even funny. You know, why are you doing that?" And when I looked at her face, and I put the camera up on her face, her eyes were dilated, and it just wasn't her. I could tell instantly that it was not her.
Oh, wow.
And she giggled again, and you know, the brave investigator that I am, I called butt down the hall. And everybody came, and we grabbed our cameras and kept rolling, and we all experienced something. Yep, and then we had Kathy come in, so.
Okay, me and another investigator were upstairs, and one of them came over and yelled up the stairs, Kathy, come downstairs, Gloria's laughing. And I looked at the other investigator, and I was like, well, so what? You know, she's laughing, big deal. And they're like, no, you don't understand. So by the time I got to her, her eyes were, like, so dark. I mean, I was, like, in her face asking her if she was okay and didn't even respond to me. I mean, she was just, like, standing there, this, like, no expression, dark eyes. I took her glasses off her face, everything. You know, and then tapping her on her face a little bit. You know, and then it took a while, but after probably maybe another 15, 20 minutes, we finally got her to snap. And she remembered nothing.
Oh, wow.
Did you get it on film?
Yeah, it was creepy.
Did you actually film it?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said, did you actually film that? Did she?
Oh, yes.
Did you look at the film afterwards?
Yes, and she was even freaking out.
I bet.
Yeah, we only got the last part of it. But she's on there where she's going, you know, all creepy. Because they knew once they called me, they tried to film and do a lot more and take pictures before they got me, because they once knew I got down there, it would be over. So they knew I would bring her out of it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was creepy. It was creepy.
So Gloria, do you have fear that would happen again? I mean, are you afraid that'll happen again and maybe next time you won't be able to stamp out of it?
I take more precaution now. I really do. You know, now I do like my own meditating before I go to investigations and try to surround myself with the white light. So I'd be protected instead of walking in just blind.
Yeah.
And, you know, to add one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if this even really matters, but that had to have been the coldest place we've ever been in, and it was 90 degrees outside. It was so cold. I mean, you could see your breath.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was just so creepy there. I mean, just everywhere
you
went, I mean, orbs just flying around you, everything.
And there was so
many
smells.
And that's called the Gonzales Jail?
Yes, in Gonzales, Texas. It's a museum now.
A museum.
Oh, so it's, like, open for, like, the public can go in there.
Yes. I really want to go back again.
Yeah, they let us go in at night time.
If you go back again, you definitely need to come back on the show and tell us about what happened.
and upstairs, actually, where they have the hanging gallows and everything, you should have the smells there. You had, like, sulfur smells, cigar smells, all different kinds of smells up there.
So in your opinion, there are a lot of different... I'm sorry, go ahead.
You know, we saw shadows walking all over the place. It was an awesome place.
So in your opinion, there are a lot of different entities haunting that place.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I mean, probably a lot of guards, you know, it was a jail.
So bad people. There was a lot of bad people there.
Yeah, I think there was more negative energy than good, you know.
So does anybody have a different story about a scary investigation, or is that pretty much everyone's scariest? Because to me, that would be probably the scariest.
Yeah, that sounds pretty serious.
Okay, we have a question. We have a question from a listener in the chat room.
Wait.
She what?
No, I was trying to be quiet so you can say what you were saying, ma'am.
Oh, our listener would like to know, do you have a before ritual that you do before an investigation?
Me or the team?
Both, either, any, all.
Well, we open opening prayers and we close with opening prayers. Me, myself, I just try to meditate and surround myself with a white light. I do that maybe two to three hours before I go on an investigation. That's my ritual.
And
but we do open with a
Saint Michael prayer.
The Saint Michael prayer, and we say just a prayer. You know, the light of God's with us, and
do you guys
stuff like
take
that.
Sage
prayer.
And salt with you?
Yes,
we have sea salt. We have a holy water, holy oil,
and we also wear rosaries.
Yeah, we have our we have rosaries. I think most of us are Catholics in the team, so.
Mhm. Yeah, I don't ever go on an investigation without salt, and I don't mean like a shaker. I mean like, you know, the big ones that you get. I get a big box of that.
Yeah,
that's what we have in my backpack.
I will carry a little backpack with a big, huge box of salt in it. And generally a sage smother, just in case, with two lighters, because you never know when one's going to break.
That's right. I have my white sage and my Bible with me, and salt, sea salt, and holy oil, holy water, whatever you can grab. Better be safe than sorry.
Yes, I agree totally. Did we answer your question, listener? Legina, I think it's her name. Oh, Legina. Hi, Legina. I know her. She's my friend on Facebook. I just realized. Thank you for listening in and coming into chat. If you could travel anywhere in the world to do an investigation, where and why? That's her next question.
Me, personally, I would like to go to Kentucky. To the asylum there, to the, oh, which one is it?
Oh. Starts with a
bit, not Bentehurst.
Yep.
The one
wasn't it? I can't think of the name of it either.
Starts with a B, doesn't it?
Oh, my gosh. It just slipped
the name
right
of it.
My tip of the tongue, and it's gone. So many deaths
Bell
there.
Something asylum. I can't remember now.
The outbreak of not polio. What was it? I know most of them have to go to Gettysburg.
Waverly Hills. Is that the one?
Yes,
that's
the one. That's one.
What is it?
Waverly Hills.
Yes.
That's my number one. I really would want to go.
I think Alcatraz would be pretty cool.
Yeah?
Alcatraz?
Yeah, but...
I've been to Alcatraz. It is pretty cool.
I know Laura wants to go to Gettysburg, right?
Gettysburg, yeah.
So does Albert.
Yeah. I wanted to go to Myrtle Plantation, and we got to go there, so that's scratched off my bucket list. Wanted to go to Goliad. We went there. That was good.
Have you been
since
you're in Texas, have you been to the Baker Hotel in Mineral Wells?
No, we haven't been there yet. We've been here in Texas. We've been to the San Jose Mission in San Antonio.
Black Swan Inn.
Yeah, the Black Swan Inn in San Antonio. Yorktown Memorial Hospital. Yoakum Hospital.
And
La Bahia in
the city of La Bahia. Up to your home in Golden Gate. That was creepy.
We have another question for you from the chat room. Susan. Hi, Susan. Thank you for listening in and coming into chat. Do you chat with investigators in other countries? Are their ghosts nicer or not nice?
You're always online.
It's hard to say. I mean, The Texas ghosts are, some of them are. I think more of the country is more, I think, that have been more wicked, I guess, more dark, that I have seen on online. I mean,
okay, can you say that again?
Go ahead, Laura.
We treat every spirit with respect as if they were human beings and now alive, and we get very good responses that way. I don't know if we've really encountered very evil spirits.
No, I think, you know, one thing that we say about my number one thing, that if you're going to be in my group, you're going to respect the dead as they were living. We ask permission. We never taunt them. You would say, thank you, please, may we, you know, stuff like that. We never
provoke.
We never provoke, yes, definitely.
If they say leave, we leave.
Yeah, if they say leave, we have left. Because I don't want to angry them.
I believe personally, and I have talked with other investigators who disagree with me for sure, but I believe that is the best way to handle it, that you should be respectful.
Absolutely.
Now, I won't say that I have never gotten nasty, but that's if they provoke me. I don't ever try to provoke them. And I'm not easily provoked, just so you know. I'm just not. But if they start messing with, you know, loved ones or trying to.
You know, I had one case here in Jernton. It was a private home that they had two spirits, a male and a little kid. And the older one was a man, and he was very mean to the little spirit. So I told him, leave him alone. And all of a sudden, I just felt like I was having a heart attack. He went right through me.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I actually thought I was having a heart attack. But, you know, I would feel sorry for the young child spirit, because the older gentleman was being mean. And after the case and everything, I went home, and they have never seen the man again. Only the kids are there. I don't know if I pissed them off or... Oh, no, wait. I think that's the one that followed me home, and I was having so much trouble with them that I had to tell my medium to get rid of them. And this was something very weird that happened at the house. My window broke. Like something went out, not in the house. My window broke the inside out, and our medium said that was the spirit. He had a fight to get him out of there.
Oh, wow.
I mean, they used to, my whole front window was shattered, but all the glass was on the outside, like something had broken, you know, in, out. But I don't know what he did with them. All he tells me, he sends them where they belong.
Well, and that's probably all you want to know.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would want to know any more than that. We have another question from the chat room. She asks, what are your thoughts on some of the ghost hunter shows on TV? Do you think they are for real or staged? And she uses as examples ghost hunters and ghost adventures.
Oh, man. Don't get my team going on this one. No, I mean... I've been telling her for years that they are fake. No, we talked to one of the groups that were on a show before, and they said that they do it for ratings.
Oh, my God. That doesn't surprise me at all.
I will mention, they're no longer on the television, but I don't want to mention their names. But they used to have a TV show, and they were, you know, paranormal. And they told us that they didn't renew their contract because they didn't want to do the lying about it.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You know, a lot of them, he said, they staged it for ratings.
Well, I've had a beef. There's one particular show, and I'm not going to say the name of that show because he's a bigger fish than I am, and I don't want to make him mad. But the thing that irritates me about this show is it's always, did you hear that? Did you hear that? And they say it so loud you can't hear what's going on. And personally, and I'm not a professional investigator by any means. I'm just an amateur, and I do it because it's fun. I try to be real quiet in the groups I've gone with. They try to be real quiet so you can catch everything. So every time he yells, did you hear that? I just want to reach out and smack him. No, because you won't shut up.
Well, yeah, that's what I had heard. I mean, I haven't been on show business, but that it was a lot for ratings.
But I mean, if you don't get really excited, you know, and you can't help but,
You feel that? Did someone touch you or?
Yeah. Well, and that's understandable because when we did that live investigation back in Smackover last year, and there were times where I found myself, I wanted that validation. Do you feel that? Did you hear that? What, you know, because you want to make sure you're not imagining things.
Yeah, correct.
And so it is understandable, I think, to an extent. I did scream once on that show because one of the investigators scared the absolute crap out of me. Thanks, Brandon. So, Legina, we answered your question then, what you wanted to know. And don't forget, welcome to call in. The number is 714-242-5259 if you would like to talk to our investigators or ask a question that way. Otherwise, go ahead and log into chat, and we will try to field your question there. Okay, so we've heard from everybody. What's that?
I was going to ask a question. This is Kelly.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm curious, on those shows, we were talking about the TV shows, and they'll play the EVPs back. And I have a really difficult time deciphering, you know, what is being said, and I'm thinking, there's no way they said that. So my question is, in the real investigation, is it really difficult to decipher what they're saying, or do they come through really clear? Does it depend on the device you're using?
It depends. Some of them I have to get like three or four other investigators to make sure that that's what I'm hearing, and if they're hearing the same thing, then. But sometimes it's very hard. Now, if we get some clear ones that. But it is hard to make out, especially with the ovulus.
But sometimes we've got very clear EVPs as well. No, I guess it just depends on what energy they have or
how much energy they put forth or whatever.
Yes. We've got EVPs with an accent even.
Yeah.
And
wow.
You know, variety.
Yeah, I hear a lot of them Hispanics, and we actually did investigator Albert one time, and we were going to get no response in English, so I started talking Spanish, and that he started just talking away.
Yeah.
And
that's happened to me before.
More
I was
Spanish than the English.
Yeah. I was on an investigation in St. Louis with Michael Barbie in a haunted hotel there. And we had a spirit box, and something started coming through. He kept asking questions, and at first it sounded like gibberish, and then I realized it's Spanish. And as soon as I said, you know, I said, hola, ¿cómo estás? And, man, it just started rattling off left and right, and it obviously I didn't know enough Spanish to understand everything it was saying at that point, but that's exactly what happened to us. I've seen so much, and of course this is on TV, so I don't know, but I've seen even where they've had it, you know, in like ancient tongues. They're getting ancient tongues, and they're not even sure which language it is. But
like English or something, yeah. I've heard
yes.
Yeah.
Cool.
Which is super interesting.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, that could be a really old spirit, you know, or it's been around for, you know, a long time if it's speaking in a, you know, in a really ancient tongue or something like that.
Yeah. I would like to know, it would be neat if we could get a groups of investigators together for a show from all over the world. To find out, when they're hearing EVPs, you know, are you in Egypt? Are you hearing them in ancient Egyptian? Or are they coming through? To find out, you know, what language are you hearing it in? Or do you just happen to hear it in the language you can understand most of the time?
I've always
now,
wondered
you guys,
that.
You guys
always
post
wondered that.
A lot of your EVPs, don't you? On your
page?
Yeah,
we do. We put a lot of our EVPs online.
Oh, yeah, some of them on Facebook, yes, a lot of them. The most that are clearer that I can hear is on Facebook.
But there's some nothing clearer than them saying your name.
Do they freak you out when they say your name?
It's kind of cool.
I get excited.
And we have ones that have actually said, like, you know, it's a bad dream, you know, and stuff like that. So we've actually had, like, sentences, you know.
Yeah,
so
this individual knows she had passed on, so I think she was thinking it was a bad dream.
Oh, wow.
And those are clear.
That was clear. I mean, it's just, you know, she said it's just a bad dream.
Well, I'm on your page right now on Facebook. I would thoroughly recommend to those that you are listening, or those of you who are listening, to get over to their page, give them a like, and check out the stuff, because they have so much stuff. There are videos and EVPs and just all kinds of information. If you're into the paranormal, they've got it in spades. And your website is pretty awesome, too. I looked at that earlier today, and I was like, whoa, you know, all kinds of stuff on there. It looks like you guys do a lot of investigating.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, our busiest year is like from Halloween all the way to around May. For some reason, the summer is, I guess they take a summer vacation too, because we don't get no calls for. But starting from September to around May, we're busy.
Nobody's home in the summer, so they probably don't realize everybody's at the beach.
Even the parents take a vacation.
We've got another question from chat. She's asking, is there one place that you have heard about that you would like to debunk?
To debunk?
Well, the one that we wanted to debunk, I think we debunked it, was the railroad tracks in San Antonio. And just to pop that off, that was our very first investigation.
Can you tell us about it a little bit?
You never heard about the railroad tracks in San Antonio?
Well, is it another one of the light things? Because it seems like almost every railroad track has a...
Well,
has some kind of a conductor and a ghost light that goes down it somewhere.
From any other. Let me ask my investigator. Do y'all
want to tell me
that you
want to debunk
that other
people
that
are on?
Just the
test. We can't hear you, folks.
I'm sorry, it was the track in San Antonio. Yeah.
And what was the rumor about the train tracks?
The rumor was that a lot of kids got killed, and now if you put
on a bus,
on a school bus,
But the reality was the story really took place, I believe it was in Alabama. But San Antonio ran the story in the newspaper. So they kind of took off, and they named the whole block after these children that had passed away. They're all named after these children. So if you go to that railroad track and you put your car in neutral, what appears to be
fingerprint.
Upward hill, somebody will actually push your car over the hill. And I personally have gone, and it did happen. And I had a car full of kids. And when I got off my car, everybody was taking photographs of the back of my car because my car was so dirty because I'd come in from out of state. And they were just very impressed. And they were looking for handprints. So most people will put baby powder on there just to see if they get handprints. Now, I'm not sure. I know they debunked it. I know Ghost Adventures had debunked it. But I did get some incredible photographs there. So I'm on the lawn. I'm on the head.
What we had done before we even went over to the tracks, we were in, it was a new vehicle, went through the car wash, washed it and everything. Okay? Put powder on the back of it, put it in neutral, went over the tracks. Okay? Got that
okay.
Out. No little fingerprints, nothing. Okay? So we wiped all the powder off. Okay? Opened the hood, pushed it down with our fingertips, and re-applied powder on it. Went back over the railroad tracks. Okay? When we got to the other side, you see fingerprints, but they were actually ours from closing the trunk.
It's your own oils. And what we did, there was a lady from, there were so many people going over the hill that day. And it's really an optical illusion that you see. You're actually going downhill instead of uphill.
Yeah. I'm telling you,
and
you did it, girl. We have it on video.
And what we did, we used this other vehicle. So they won't say, well, you're doing something to it. We did another vehicle that was coming from another town. And we did the same thing. We told her, go ahead and go. She was all excited. Oh, look at all the prints. Look at all the prints. We wiped them off with water and soap and water. And then we applied the baby powder again. She went, not one single print.
Wow.
But yeah, she did over. And we even put the car on the road tracks. It did not even budge. You have to actually go downhill, get a good thing. And the names on the subdivision, it's the grandkids of the subdivisions guy that did the subdivision. He named all the streets over his grandkids.
But it needs to put you over. Or if they put you over, it's because you're not going anywhere. That's why. And they don't push you. Because they ain't no favorites.
Sorry.
Oh, wow.
And then there's a peacock farm down the street, and you can hear them, like, they think it's the kids crying. It's actually peacocks.
Oh.
Why they hear
so
the
So you
squawking.
Believe you've thoroughly debunked that particular spot.
Yeah, we did debunk that. But now I'm not saying there's no paranormal now there because a lot of homeless lives in the woods right there by the tracks, and actually women have gotten killed. So now if there's paranormal, I think it's from them now because they've been a lot of rape and killing them.
Ah, okay.
Wow. So
it's still very interesting.
It's still interesting, but I think, you know, I don't think it's the kids. If anything, it's because we did take two hits from there, but it was coming from the woods. So I think if there's any paranormal, I think it's the people that have gotten killed there. There's homes in the woods, and you know how they told us not even to go out there at dark anymore alone because of that, because of the homeless.
Mm.
And they said there had been a lot of rapes and killings there. So if it's, like I said, if there's anything paranormal now, I think it's people that actually got killed there, not the kids from the school bus.
Okay.
There's another
Tracy,
question in chat.
Yeah, go ahead.
It says, have you heard about Bunny Man Bridge in Fairfax County, Virginia?
What's the bridge?
Bunny, B-U-N-N-Y as in a rabbit.
Bunny. Yeah.
Man Bridge in Fairfax County, Virginia.
We have a donkey lady bridge.
No, we don't. I haven't heard of it. We have Laura said we have a donkey lady bridge here.
She
She put a Wikipedia link. I'm going to click it just to see what.
No, I have never heard of that one.
My computer is very slow bringing up any information.
That's not one that I'm familiar with myself.
I'm not either. I've never heard of it.
May I ask what happened here? The caller?
Okay, let me see. It's an urban legend that I'm just going to read it straight from Wikipedia. So I've given credit to the source, so this is not plagiarism or copyright infringement or whatever. The Bunny Man is an urban legend that probably originated from two incidents in Fairfax County, Virginia in 1970, but has been spread throughout the Washington, D.C. area. There are many variations of the legend, but most involve a man wearing a rabbit costume who attacks people with an axe. Many variations occur around Colchester Overpass, a southern railway overpass spanning Colchester Road near Clifton. Colchester Overpass is commonly referred to as Bunny Man Bridge. Story variations include the origin of the Bunny Man, names, motives, weapons, victims, description of the bunny costume or lack thereof, and the possible death of the Bunny Man. In some accounts, the Bunny Man's ghost or aging specter is said to come out of his place of death each year on Halloween to commemorate his death. In some accounts, victims' bodies are mutilated. And then it shows, like, pictures of the axe, like there's some plaque with a newspaper clipping, and then two photographs of the bridge.
Oh, wow.
I've heard of this.
Wow, yeah, I've never heard of that before. Are they finding, like, actual bodies? Did it say in that article?
It just says that it looks to me like it's probably an urban legend.
Oh, okay.
It talks about, like, its origin. Let's see. There was a historian that conducted, Brian A. Conley, I better give credit to the researcher, conducted extensive research on the legend. And he located two incidents of a man in a rabbit costume threatening people with an axe. The vandalism reports occurred a week apart in 1970. So it doesn't look like there's
I'm
any.
Sorry.
I can't
why,
imagine
why
a man
a
in a bunny costume.
That is what I
want
to know. That would be my question: is why in the world?
Why would
you
pick a bunny?
If I wanted someone to take me seriously, I promise you I would not put on a bunny costume.
I would not be dressed up as furry rabbit. Like, that's not what, that is not what I would do.
Little rabbit
feet.
You're thinking about
the corn or something, you know?
Like, now this is awful. I'm going to start cracking up. When the police asked for a description of the man, Bob, who I guess is the person giving the description, says that he is wearing a white suit with long bunny ears, but his fiance remembered something white and pointed like a KKK hood. So apparently it could be someone like dressed up as a rabbit or in like KKK garb, according to eyewitnesses.
So it sounds like maybe Bob had a little drink of something before they went out that night.
Yeah.
And here's a legitimate question for you guys as investigators, because I know you've had to have gone to investigations at some point and went, wow, there's nothing here, that you just couldn't get any evidence at all. So what do you do?
Drive it home. Yeah, private homes mostly.
Well, how do you handle that? Because if you've got somebody saying, okay, I'm getting thrown against the wall and this is happening and this is happening, and you go and there's like zero evidence of anything at all.
We have like K2 hits, you know, but it could be electrical, it could be. At times we go back twice to verify our findings.
Did you find
so you'll
that
do more than... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I was just going to ask, do you find that, is it there, when you go to a private home, is it someone in their family ever, or is it usually, like, way in the past, or something to do with the property?
Mostly it's, well, kind of both. It's either the land or someone that has passed on that, which could be a relative. But the majority is the, like, a property. We have some apartments and teas not far from where that are saying they were pretty active, and but they were saying that we're all built in the Indian burial ground. So I think
oh, wow.
Apartments are always have some activity on it.
Boy, that is not a piece of information that I would ever want someone to give me. Hey, sorry, but you kind of built your house in the middle of a burial ground.
Yeah,
could you imagine?
Yeah, they're like public housing, you know, for low income. So there's
uh-huh. So the whole place has been inundated.
If you want a home over, you know.
Well, when
we did our
house, my wife bought old furniture from her grandma, and when we did our investigation, we figured out that it was attached to something she brought back from home. So that was kind of neat.
So did you end up, Albert, just making peace with the spirit, or did you have to actually get rid of that item?
I believe she made peace with it at work. There was a medium at work, and he kind of saw around her and told her what it was. And from then on, we hadn't had any problems. Any serious
problems. What's your recommendation on that? I mean, anybody that listens to this show on a regular basis knows that our recommendation is usually the same. We're usually united in this idea that if you can at all make peace with them, do so, because they were here first. But what is your opinion on that? As investigators, with everything you've seen, do you think that you should make peace or get rid of them?
Well, at the time, if they have any types of animosity or causing havoc for a family, we definitely recommend they leave. But if we find that they're peaceful, yes, they deserve that respect. Like you said, they were here before us.
And some of them could
yeah.
be family members that have come back. You know, like your grandma or your mom that's, you know, watching
yeah.
out for you and stuff. So.
They have a message. And they usually have a message. I'll tell you, we had a private home in Laredo, Texas, and this really still throws me back. When we got there, they had barred the windows, the doors, because they felt somebody was coming in into the house, and apparently they were bothering the teenage young lady that lived in there. Well, what we found after investigating through EVP and her spirit box and whatnot, she had lost a great aunt. Was she in Russia?
Oh, where? Yeah.
She was like in another country, and she was trying to tell them that she had left this young lady an heirloom, and she told us exactly. It was in a shed on the second shelf behind the box, and that was her message. She was just trying to relay that she had something for her. So that was pretty amazing.
Oh, wow. That is amazing.
Yeah, so there's, you know, they might accidentally scare us, but maybe that's not intentional.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think sometimes in their desire to make contact, that they don't realize how terrifying their contact can be. I don't think it's always necessarily that they're trying to scare us. Sometimes people are just jumpy. I know after the ridiculous amount of experiences I've had, I react much differently now than what I did when they first began.
Yeah, I think we must too.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys can relate to that probably completely. And the stuff that scares the average person probably doesn't faze you guys, does it?
Right. I think instead of running from, we run after them. Like when I was, when we went to Slovakia and Goliad, I was running around the tent trying to catch a photo, and everybody thought I was going crazy because I was running after a soldier trying to get a photo.
But she did. She got
and
that
I got him. And I got him.
I think that's normal, though. I think once you've had a lot of experiences, you become, for me, scary movies that used to scare me about, I you know, everybody gets mad at me because I'm always dissing Paranormal Activity movies, but they stink.
Yeah.
They stink. If you've been to a couple of real hauntings, been through a couple of those movies are just about as lame gets. And it takes a lot. It takes a very spectacular movie to actually scare me, because when you've dealt with the real thing, the stuff they come up with Hollywood. Now, I can't tell you I've ever been in a house that the walls bled. I'm telling you, if I was in a house where that happened, I would think I was standing on a Hollywood movie set or somebody was trying to prank me or punk me.
Right.
Because I'm pretty sure that doesn't really happen. But won't say it's impossible. Now, we had a question. Tracy, you want to field that question?
Yeah. The question is that her mother has always told her that there were no such things as ghosts hanging around cemeteries. She wants to know what your thoughts are on that.
Oh, no. When we first started my team, that's where we started getting hit cemeteries. There's a lot in cemeteries. We have caught so much in cemeteries.
Wow.
From orbs actually coming out of the grave. They're all so awesome, like basket-sized orbs. It's coming out of a grave and shooting out. And that's without a camera. That's with our own eyes.
Yeah, I personally have, that's where we started. Our investigations were in cemeteries. And we caught some pretty amazing footage. And then, like, way before I even embraced the fact that I could see and feel things, I was in Lima, Ohio, visiting a friend. And it was summer, and we were walking. And, like, there was a cemetery that we passed. And, like, you could almost feel there and, like, It was very creepy for me because I didn't understand it at the time. And like Willow said, the things that frightened me then probably wouldn't faze me now, but that was one of the most terrifying experiences because I could, like, feel them crawling up my back. And mm-hmm. I couldn't see them, but I knew that they were there. And then once there was a church on the other end of the street, and as soon as we got past the church, that feeling was gone. So personally, I think they're filled with activity, not only that you can see with camera, but you absolutely can see it with the naked eye.
We went to Jordan, it was just me, Gloria, and one of our dachshunds we wanted to take for walking. And of course, being investigators, we take a camera and a recorder with us wherever we go, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we said, let's just go to the cemetery by where we live. And I actually got a shadow moving, because I take a lot of, I do picture taking on the team, as well as a co-founder. But I actually have a shadow moving. You can see him moving across the tombstones. So it's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
That is really cool. See, I don't usually give a whole lot of stock or take a whole lot of stock in orbs generally, because it seems to me that a lot of times they're misconstrued or they're misidentified. However, there are some pictures that I've seen, and I am by no means an expert, people, so anybody that thinks I know what I'm talking about here, please remember, I'm an amateur. There are some, though, that are, when you look at them, they are so obviously not dirt and not a bug. And they have that defined shape and that, what's the term that they use for that? That self, the glow, they call that glow, that self-sustaining glow, where you can tell it's from the inside out, not just a, a bouncing
and you can
off.
Tell it as a star or, you know, compared to a real orb. And like I said, our orbs also, we didn't do much with orbs, but then when I started seeing it a lot with our naked eye in places that we investigate, well, you know, who knows, we could catch a picture. If I saw it with my own eyes, we could actually, the camera could actually pick it up too.
Oh, wow. Now that would be interesting.
Willow?
That would be interesting. Hello?
Willow, are you listening to
this? Is everybody still here?
Yeah, I was just asking if Kelly or any of y'all there, are y'all sensitive to the paranormal?
Yeah.
Yes. That's an understatement, yes.
For Kelly, me not so much, but my daughter and my husband are. And so I experience things more through them than me myself. But I'm very much believing in it.
No.
Yeah, and Tracy and I, we're like, you know, the sixth sense, we see dead people, so.
Yeah, I hear them. Weird. And then my son,
my daughter,
he's starting to open up like a book too. So amazing.
Your son? Well, he's growing into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
My 22-year-old daughter lives with me, and she had a new friend, come over the other day, and we were talking, and we were talking about actually getting ready for this show, and you guys coming on, and she's like, really? And my daughter just kind of rolled her eyes, and she's like, Mom, just don't. And I said, all right, I won't. And I just laughed, because usually when her friends start asking questions about that or my books, or my haunted books, I'll say, well, you know, I see dead people. So, and it always freaks them out to start with, which I think is hysterical, because I like to freak people out. So my daughter doesn't find it nearly as humorous as I do, though. So I just walked away. But, you know, I found over the course of this many years that when that topic comes up, it doesn't matter how many people are in the group. There are those that will say, it doesn't exist, I don't believe in it. And at some point, even if the entire group says that, at some point in the course of that evening, somebody will pull me off to the side and say, you know, I think my grandma came to see me after she died, or I think so-and-so came to see me after.
Yeah.
And because they don't want to talk about it in front of the die-hard unbelievers or non-believers.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more people, I think, that do believe than don't.
Hey,
I really do believe that.
So she just wants to say a few before she goes.
Hey, guys, so thanks for having me on, Laura. I'm taking off, but before you guys shut the show off, have Gloria talk to you about our funniest investigation ever. All right,
thanks for coming. It was great to have you. Okay, so let's hear about the funniest investigation ever.
Oh, my God. It was fun. That's what I would say. If y'all on Facebook and you'll find that video, y'all probably going
to
laugh. It was a local place here in Pleasanton, and we were seeing beautiful orbs in the kitchen. There were
This is not the funniest.
I thought it was this one.
Hi, guys.
Okay, this one. She saw that. I think this was her scariest, Laura's. We were watching beautiful orbs in the kitchen. They were blue, green, and we were trying to debunk it to see if it was a car coming by. right, and debunk it. So we were all in there, and I was like, okay, there comes a car. Let's see if it makes that same. Like to see if it's the car coming, right? And it passed by. No, it's not that one. Okay, it's coming from the other direction. Here comes that one. No, then Laura decides to turn back, and she goes, oh, my God, there's a man standing next to y'all. So she took off, and my other investigator took off, and I took off. We all got stuck in the threshold. We couldn't, but I think that's the scariest. That Laura, but this is not the funniest. The funniest is, sorry, I thought that was the one she was talking about. We were in a mill in, where was it at? Where was it in Seguin? Oh, Seldar Mill in, I don't know what town, I can't remember the town. Well, anyhow, they told us that the basement was infested with fleas. So during all investigations, we were walking around. We decided to go to the basement. And guess what? We got infested with fleas.
Oh, no.
So we were out there taking off. I took off my pants and everything. And then we looked up, and there was a security camera from the city. After we were all undressed with, I didn't have no pants on. My other investigator had her pants and shirt off. She was only in drawing pants trying to get all the fleas off. Laura started running up the stairs. She hit her head, and she busted her head open.
Oh, wow.
Then the police showed up. And we were like, oh, my God, they must have seen us on the cameras.
So you went looking for ghosts and found bugs.
We got fleas.
I would say that was an epic failure then, right? For
I mean, they told us, no, don't go in the basement. We forgot. There were no socks. I was in underwear. The only thing we had was Off to spray. We were spraying ourselves with Off. And there we all, half of the team in their underpants.
Oh, my gosh, that's fantastic.
We were like, you didn't see the cat. Oh, no, we're just here because we wanted to know about the paranormal. I said, yeah.
Maybe the abnormal.
Because we looked up and I said, oh, my God, look, there's a security camera right there.
And at that point, you had no video you could upload to anything, right? Because I think that's illegal.
But they treated us like we were royalty. They rolled out the red carpet for us and took.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but
the Lord's right. That's the funniest investigation I've ever heard of, hands down.
That's good.
That's great. So you didn't take any of those little boogers home with you, did you?
Oh, yeah. When I got home, I had to use my dog shampoo to get them off. I still had sleep.
Yes, there are certain things that sage will not help.
Yeah. Yeah, the office.
That would definitely be one of them.
Oh, my goodness. No, this was a hotel that you guys were investigating?
To be a mill.
I'm sorry, can you say that again? A mill.
Yeah. They had.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if that was a hotel, they surely didn't have many return guests, because... I'll go see a ghost, but I don't want anything to do with bugs. Sorry.
Yeah,
for me, that's truly terrifying.
They were touching her legs. Oh, someone's touching me. And then she had a flashback. Oh, my God, please. I mean, she started running up the stairs and cut her head on the process of going upstairs.
Oh, no.
The cup was full of fleas and bleeding.
Wow, what a nightmare. That's definitely a nightmare investigation.
Yeah,
holy cow. Do you ever worry about things like that, like when you do investigations in private homes? Are you ever concerned with your personal safety because of, you know, human beings, that there might be a danger there? Or, I mean, because they could have bed bugs or scurvy or whatever. I mean, does that concern you at all?
Sometimes, but we try not to get on their bed or anything, you know. But usually we try to, what kind of scares us is anyone that could be like a molester or not all there, you know what I mean? That's what really scares me. And I kind of seen them before. Like, there was one that he's on a sexual offender, right? So he wanted us to go there, and we didn't go. I told my team we're not going to that one.
Do you think that your, like, discernment plays into that, too? Like, when you, like, I know we've been invited, for example, to the Emmett House that was here in Waverly. And, like, there was always something that didn't feel quite right about that for me. Do you think that your ability to discern plays into where you choose to do your investigations?
Yeah, always go with your feeling. You know, if you don't feel right, don't go.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's how I go. Mm-hmm.
There's also a question in chat. Hang on just a second. I almost lost my computer again. It says that she has hearing problems, and she was wondering that if you hear a spirit talking, do you hear it as a whisper to the ear, or do you hear it in your head?
No, I always hear it to the ear.
I'm the same way.
Yep. We all agree.
Okay.
Well, can you say the answer to that again? Because I didn't hear that.
We all hear a whisper in our ears.
An actual whisper.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard the whisper so, I mean, has it ever been like where you could feel the breath on your face, that it actually moves your hair? Because I've had that happen before.
I've been in dead sleep, and I'll hear my name, someone whispering in my ear, and I'll like wake up and like, oh, you know, what was that?
Kathy, you
had
your hair move. Yeah, I've had my hair move.
Yeah, that's a little freaky. I've been touched. I've had my arm grabbed or somebody pat my back or whatever, and I don't mind any of that. But when they start fooling around with my hair, it sets me on edge a little bit. I don't like it when I don't know why. Because I guess I'm always scared they're going to yank it out or something, but.
Yeah.
That's just a little too intimate. You know, I mean, I think when you're getting
grabbed
in your ear, that's pretty intimate. You know, they're getting really close at that point.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've
gotten
touched several times already, you know, and some of my investigators, too. They kind of, and that's when I don't really care for them touching me, especially.
See, I don't allow them to touch me either. That's like my rule. If you want to talk to me or you have something you need to say, you can say whatever you want to say. You just don't touch me.
Right. You know, we tell them you don't have permission to touch us, so do not touch.
See, I don't mind the touching at all. That does not bother me. It's just, you know, it just is what it is. But that when they start, you know, when you're standing there and all of a sudden you have a lock of hair that just floats up in the air, that is some creepy stuff. I don't like that.
Yeah.
And that's when
freaky.
I usually, I'll get a little, I'll get a little out of control over that. I let them know they crossed the line at that point. in a not-so-nice manner. I think, though, the touching, the thing I don't like about the touching is that there's no way to document or validate what's happened. So in an evidence-finding situation, it's just a personal experience. And as far as exactly. documentation goes, personal experiences are pretty much worthless. But it is good validation if, you know, two or three of you are feeling it, then, you know, if
unless
it's just
you get
one person.
Scratched, though, the
up. Say that again?
Unless you get scratched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen some pretty nasty, nasty
scratches.
Yeah. Scratches. Yeah. I've seen a few myself, and that's probably why I came up with the rule, don't touch me. Like,
don't
touch me, because I guess it's like an invasion of my personal space. Like, I feel like
uh-huh.
that's too personal for me, for you. Like, when I've talked on here before and told people about, you know, the sheets lifting up off of my feet and my feet being grabbed, and like that was the ultimate no-no. You don't do that. Of course, I was dealing with something that, you know, wouldn't listen, but I can't.
Right.
Like when the guy was here in December, right after our reception, there was no one that touched me. I just knew there was someone there because he was so close that
you could hear
just feel him.
The breath.
You could hear him breathing.
But, yeah.
Like, that's one thing with David starting to familiarize himself with his gifts. I've told him, you have to set the boundaries. You have to be the one to say, these are my office hours. This is the line you do not cross. I said, and you have to talk to them like they, you know, like they're there, like they're standing there, because they... Most of them were people at one time, and they will take an instruction and they will take direction. You just have to tell them what you expect of them. And, like, that morning that guy was in my house, like, my child was hearing him. And before I could get the words out as to what I was hearing, my child was hearing it. So he was like, Mom, you know, what do I do about this? And he has never had anything touch him either. And I said, if that makes you feel uncomfortable, you need to make that plain in the universe that that's not something that you will engage in. So I think you do have to set very serious boundaries. And if Willow's okay with the touching, then she sets that boundary, and that's what they respect of her, whereas, like, I'm not okay with that, and neither is David. So we speak that into the universe.
Mm-hmm. We have a question. Regina would like to know, and this is for anyone, this is an open question to anyone, what famous spirit person would you like to have an encounter with, and what would you ask them? So who would like to answer that question?
Let me see. I think Kennedy.
Okay, I'm sorry to laugh, but what are you going to ask him?
I don't know. I just to encounter him.
I was going to say, are you going to ask him who was in the grassy knoll? Or oh, that's the wrong Kennedy, isn't it?
No, I would ask that question. Did you really have a tunnel to take?
Say that again.
If you really had a secret tunnel to take his mistress to the White House.
That's a good question.
I think if the conspiracy theorists are correct, that is actually true. I don't. You know what? This is really sad. But if I could talk to anyone, it would be Robin Williams, because he was the one person that I wanted to meet desperately in life.
I'd have to agree with you there.
I would pick him. And my question would be, why did you leave me? Because I loved you so much. I probably am because what's that?
I think I would want to probably talk to Heath Ledger.
See what was going on in
that poor guy's head.
Yeah. Another very sad circumstance. Anybody else got a famous spirit they would like to talk to?
I would like to talk to Kurt Cobain.
Who?
Kurt Cobain from Nirvana.
Oh, Kurt Cobain, yeah.
Huh.
What would you ask him,
I'm trying to think
Albert?
Of who. Yeah, what would you ask him?
If his wife did it? That
just,
crazy
just,
woman?
Just why? You know,
why did you marry that horrible woman?
Exactly. Oh, man, crazy ass. Excuse my language.
That's a good one. She says,
I would like to even talk to Abe Lincoln.
Abe Lincoln?
Yeah, I just am fascinated, I guess, with presidents.
Apparently so. Legina says she would go with Patsy Cline and Edgar Allan Poe.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
I think Poe might be really scary. He was so dark.
I think he would be too, yeah. I think he would. I would almost be afraid of what he would say.
Yeah, he would be saying, come with me. I don't know. He was kind of a creepy dude.
Yeah, he was.
Emily Dickinson, well, I think, might be somebody famous that's passed that would be neat to talk to. She was so incredibly talented. She's my favorite poet, just in case anybody wondered, and was incredibly talented. And
she was.
But also an incredibly dark and sad personality, so that might actually end up being scary. I said that, and then I thought about the Woman in Black movie, and I was like, yeah, maybe she's not a good fit. Maybe I should stick with Robin Williams. I pick
her. Always loved, like, she, I don't know why, but, like, her music speaks personally to me. So I would probably, like, I would want to talk to her and Janis Joplin. I absolutely love Janis Joplin. Because that was just both of those were just tragic deaths.
Oh, listen, speaking about tragic deaths, this has nothing to do with the paranormal, but I'm going to share this. My daughter nearly gave me a heart attack today because she told me Eddie Murphy had died. She was watching The Nutty Professor, and she says, it's so sad he's dead. And I'm like, what? Oh, yeah, Mom, he died. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. That would be like Michael Jackson dying if Eddie Murphy died. He's like the king of comedy. It would be a big to-do. There's no way that could have happened and me not hear about it. And she was so dead certain, I came and jumped on the computer and started Googling Eddie Murphy died. And then I'm yelling, you idiot, it's a hoax. Fact check for Pete's sake. Go on Snopes. Scared me out to death. I'm thinking, how did he die?
Dead.
Nobody tell me.
They did that with Adam Sandler one summer, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. He's like, that's not allowed. And a friend of mine was like, no, it's a hoax. And I was like, well, it's a good thing, because that makes me kind of mad.
Yeah, that is not funny when they start playing around with that kind of stuff. I was not amused. I was pretty upset. And I just couldn't believe that could happen and it not be national news, you know?
Right.
So, but thankfully, Eddie is still with us. It was a hoax. Now back to the paranormal. Sorry about that. I digressed for a little bit. All right. Well, it is 9:30. So the show's been going for about an hour and a half. We're going to give you just a few more minutes to either call in. The number is 714-242-5259 if you have a question, or you are welcome to ask in chat. We're going to start wrapping up the show here. I'd like to, girls, if you can drop the links in the chat room for it's Atascosa. Am I saying that correctly?
Atascosa.
Atascosa Paranormal Investigators. You guys were just absolutely fabulous guests. Thank you so much for coming on the show and telling us your stories. You can find them at Atascosa. It's just Atascosa.com, correct?
Atascosaparanormal.com.
Okay, Atascosaparanormal.com. I want to say it for the archived versions, because once the show's over, chat goes away and then people won't be able to find you. So their website is Atascosaparanormal.com. Their Facebook.
I'm getting ready to paste it right now, too.
Thank
in the
you
chat
so much,
for those
dear.
That are in there.
Their Facebook is www.facebook.com/allaboutheparanormal in all caps. Please be sure to stop by, and if people would like you to investigate, you have contact information right there on your website and on Facebook, correct?
Yes. And if they have any questions, they can inbox me or call me, and I'll be glad to answer the questions. Or if they're having problems, I get calls all over the, all times.
Wonderful.
And, it doesn't matter what any time of day, especially if it involves little children. Yeah, that's one thing about the when we investigate, if there's any kids involved or anything, we always bump them up, and that's our first priority when there's kids involved.
Yeah.
And there's haunted, yes.
That's,
I think
well,
Willow
and
Kelly and
really
I need
important.
To, like, take a road trip to see you. You guys sound absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely
I think we should
phenomenal.
Take the summer to go ghost hunting, to be honest with you. Just go. We've been invited so many places at this point that if we it would take 2 months to get to all of them. Just take the summer off and go on one big, long ghost hunt.
There we go.
Also, I'd like to say, if you have a story for our listeners, if you have a story, a paranormal story you'd like to tell us or would like to be a guest on the show, please contact us on our Facebook page, The Paranormal Hour, or you can email us at the_paranormal_hour@yahoo.com. We would love to have you come on the show. We do shows the second and fourth Fridays of the month. Our next show, and everybody's going to be happy about this, Alicia Sparks is coming back. She is our uber-friendly favorite tarot card reader, and she will be doing online live readings for those of you that call in and want to have your cards read. So be sure to check in with us. And that is, I believe, January 28th is the next show, isn't it?
I think so. Yes. That's a Wednesday, so it would be, what, the 30th? Does that sound right? Either the 23rd or the 30th.
Not Friday.
It's the... I've got to go look at my calendar now, folks. I'm so sorry.
Friday.
Talk about... It's probably the 30th then.
It's the 30th. We're looking at the calendar
right
here. It's
the fourth Friday of the month.
Okay,
and,
the third?
No, actually the fourth Friday of the month would be the 23rd.
23rd. Yeah, 23rd.
Okay. All right, so 23rd. Then I was way off. Sorry about being totally unprepared. She will be with us at 8 o'clock. Kelly, can you give everybody your information in case they would like to contact you?
Sure. I am, I'm also an author, and you can reach me, you can Google me and probably find me anywhere, but my website is Abell Books.
Okay, and Tracy.
The best way to reach me is through my website also. It is Tracy, T-R-A-C-E-E, Ford, F-O-R-D, .com.
Okay, and, of course, I am Willa Cross. If you cannot find me online, you are not looking, period. I'm Willa Cross, because I'm everywhere. Thank you once again, Atticosa Paranormal Investigators, and Gloria, Albert, Kathy, and Laura for being on our show. We enjoyed this thoroughly. We'd love to have you come on again sometime. Thank you to Kelly and Tracy, my uber awesome co-hosts, and from everyone here at the World of Ink Network, have a good night, and we'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.